All jokes aside, I would like to welcome you all back here this afternoon. And I tell you what, I want to open up by talking about the money that was donated for the needy children. I tell you what, that is something special. You cannot convince me otherwise. There is not a better group of people than those here at Fairfield Church of Christ. It truly is something wonderful. And I tell you what, even further proof of that, after I finished my lesson this morning, I walked to the back as preachers normally do. And I shook everyone's hand, and everyone is always just so encouraging. I know I've been preaching for a few years now, but, you know, encouragement is always welcomed, and the amount of love and encouragement I get from all of you every Sunday is far more than I feel like I deserve, but it's much appreciated, and I love you all, and I love being here, and I love speaking here at Fairfield, and it's my home, it's where I love to be, and it's hope I'm here for a while longer. So I was talking about this morning, I was talking about the topic of fear, because it is Halloween. I feel like it was pretty fitting. So I'm going to shift gears a little bit from that, but I still want to keep something along the lines of Halloween. And that is disguises, costumes, masks. We're all accustomed to these come Halloween season. Little kids dress up in their funny costumes, and they go around and trick-or-treat and get candy and all that good stuff. But that's not the kind of costumes I want to talk about, the kind of disguises or the kind of masks I'm talking about. Because sometimes we put on a mask in everyday life. And that brings to the topic of discussion this afternoon, and that is that sometimes we find ourselves being a little two-faced. And that applies to myself as well. I'm not the person I always want to be outside of the church doors. We all fall short. We all make mistakes. But it's important to acknowledge these and to learn how we can be that one unified person leading our everyday life for the Lord. And I want to preface before I start, I do appreciate you all coming back this afternoon, and your special reward is you get a short lesson this afternoon. So you can go home and watch your football, take your naps, do whatever it is you want to do with your afternoon. But, you know, I wonder if I told everyone getting $100 that stayed this afternoon, or how many more people would stay if there was a money incentive. Maybe that's an idea for next time. But getting back to the topic, what exactly does being two-faced mean? There are many definitions, but the one I want to go with is when a person acts a certain way in one place, but different in another. Can you think of any examples? Maybe you yourself is an example. Maybe you know someone like that. It's never good to accuse, but we all fall short in this category sometimes. Maybe we act a little bit different during Bible study, or maybe we act a little bit different during church, as opposed to everyday life once the doors close and the church is locked up. So do we fit this definition? It's a question I want you to ask yourselves today, because it's important to do some kind of self-reflection every day, because that's how we as people can improve and better ourselves. Now, our life is a duality, and it's kind of a roadblock in our spiritual life, because we have to lead lives spiritually in the name of God, but we also have to live our lives every day as people who have daily responsibilities, who have jobs, who have school, who have to get up in the morning, who have to cook breakfast, who have to cook other meals and do any other activities, maybe sports, maybe other hobbies you have. We find a separation between secular activities and spiritual activities. Our spiritual roads go one way and our secular road goes the other. And sometimes we find ourselves acting a little bit different in both of these separate worlds. Now this brings us to a life of division. Now, I'm not talking about a division with your fellow man or woman. I'm talking about a division with yourself. You find yourself split up into two different people, almost. But God wants us to live one singular, unified life that we as Christians are called to live. Now, if we live this life of division, how can we possibly find peace? We're constantly trying to change who we are, whether it be based on our surroundings, whether it be a group of people you hang out with. Maybe you hang out with a group of friends and you're one way, and you hang out with another group of friends and you're another. Maybe one is better, one is worse. Either way, you want to be one unified person to find inner peace. Because we know in today's world, when we find division, whether it be division in the world of politics, there is no peace. There is always arguments, there's always bickering, there is always hatred. And that can be found within ourselves as well, because we are not the same people that we should be. Now, it's easy to blame this on the sin of the world, because the world is a sinful place. The nature of it has always been sinful ever since Adam and Eve. Or we can blame things on ourselves. Like I am one of my biggest critics. I always like picking on myself for any small thing I do. So we can blame our division, our internal division, on the sin of the world. But when we enter another world with God, things begin to change. Because when we enter a world with God, better times await us. That's how I feel. Every time I walk into a church, every time I get done with the worship service, I get to shake people's hands, get to say hello, I get such a rush that's rivaled by no other. And that's just that Holy Spirit, that spiritual high that we get being in church and praising our God. But what if I told you that it was possible to live this all the time? Because aside from the spiritual world, we live in the secular world, where all of our daily activities take place, and we're surrounded by those that don't think like we do. So it's easy to want to fit in with these separate people for whatever reason. I never understood that. It's been a pattern that I've seen growing up through school and even in college. When you believe people find this big independence going to school, it's a new change. But people are still found wanting to fit in. And I believe this is a trend that happens all the way up till death, truly, until you find that inner peace. Now, at the end of every day, we bring so many things to confess. We make so many mistakes in our daily walks of life. And partially, this is to blame because of our two-way of thinking. Now, if you want to turn to Isaiah 29:13, I want to read just a quick verse out of that real quick. It says, "And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment taught by men." See, we want to be with God in the end. We speak it, we think we feel it, but God knows our hearts. He knows your heart right now, no matter if you think, even if you know it or not. God knows how you think and how you feel. See, we want to be with God, but we become trapped. We want to escape this world, this evil mortal world, to be with God in His spiritual realm, but we can't. We are trapped because there is still work here to be done. And to accomplish this good work, we have to push past this internal division that we are fighting right now. We can't try to walk the fence between spiritual and secular. We can't dip our toes on one side, then dip our toes on the other whenever we feel like. We must grab them both and pull them together, because that is very possible. Trying to walk the fence between the two isn't very biblical, as God will go on to tell us. He wants all of our focus to be on Him. We have a longing for the other side. We have a longing of heaven. It's our grand prize while we're in this particular plane of existence. Now, this is the main passage I want to focus on. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5, and it reads, "For we know if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." It's not a maybe. It's a guarantee. It says we can live in the spiritual world while we are here. We may not literally be in heaven getting to physically shake hands with God, but we can exist in a spiritual world while in this plane. If we go on and read verses 6 down through 10, it says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil." Now, Jesus has set the perfect example of this. He walked in our shoes while being a part of a spiritual world much greater than ourselves, and while being a part of our world as well. Jesus knew that God was with him every step of the way. Of course, we will never truly be exactly like Jesus, but we can try, because that's why God sent him here, to be that example. Now, I will be jumping through several different passages here, so I'll be turning back to the book of John, chapter 8, and verse 29, and it reads like this. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And this is Jesus reassuring the very thing I just said. Jesus Christ knew that God sent him, and he knew that the man who sent him, the God who sent him, was with him every step of the way. And everything that Jesus did was in the name of God. Now, we know Jesus didn't exactly have the easiest life here on earth. He worked. He was a carpenter. He wasn't rich by any means. He was always working, and he was always on the move, always trying to reach those with the word of his Father. He knew God was with him. And Jesus acted in peace, even through struggle. And that's something that we should take away from the example that Jesus set for us here on earth. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:31 reads like this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Very short, very simple verse. And this is just Paul telling us to live like Jesus did. Paul knew that Jesus was the ultimate example, and he knows that if we follow Jesus' footsteps, we can be like him in everything that we do. So this is how we connect the spiritual and the secular worlds. Because if we do everything in our daily lives, we can merge the two. Do everything that we do for God and for his glory and to please him. I know as a son, all I want to do is to make my mom and dad proud, and I hope I've done that, at least to this point in my life. I know I've messed up, but we should act the same exact way towards God. We should always live to please him and make him proud, and we don't do that by being two different people in and out of the church building. We are God's people. Have you ever really sat and thought about that? You are God's chosen, not in the Jewish Old Testament sense, but you're Christian. You are doing the work that God asks us to do while on earth that no one else can accomplish. We are provided for. God gives us the tools that we need. Everything is available to us in this world. So we should thank God for everything, everything that we do in our daily lives. But it's not easy to do. It's not an easy habit to break, to be appreciative, to live in a unified sense. But it takes a long time to break habits, as we know. These habits are conquered through prayer and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through you. Don't just think that the Holy Spirit is with you. Live it. Be a living example as Jesus was a living example to us thousands of years ago. Now, our actions against the world, when we start living the way God wants us to do, it won't be well received by the people, by the general public. As we already see, Christianity seems day by day to become less and less popular. It appears to be that way, at least. It seems the media never wants to give Christianity any credit. There was a boxing match a few weeks ago between Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder. And at the end of the fight, Tyson Fury, who has been one of the most unstoppable boxers of our generation, his end speech that he gave, that every boxer gives at the end, he was going through thanking all the reasons he was there, why he had all the talent. He opened up by saying, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, above. And then he goes on to thank his family. But something I noticed was very interesting. I was scrolling through social media, and ESPN posted this interview, and they cut out the whole first part. They cut out where Tyson Fury said, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I wonder why that is. It was something that I was questioning. I looked through the comment section, and everyone that was a Christian or of like mind was wondering the same exact thing. So as we see Christianity kind of fall to the wayside, we have to be the ones to put it on our backs and carry it up for God, because we are the last line of defense here in this world. Just know the devil is prowling, just like the book of Daniel tells us. He is always looking for new prey. So don't allow yourself to be caught. Don't allow yourself to be tripped up. Don't be confused. But be encouraged and be encouraging to your fellow Christian, because this sinful nature can lead you down a path that you can resist. It is possible. But we are stuck here in these bodies because of what awaits us on the other side. We should want to be here. We should want to work towards that goal. I know as someone, I love accomplishing things. So whenever I get a test grade and I see that it's a 100 and I know I've been studying for that test, it feels good because my hard work is paid off. And your hard work here, living, doing God's work, will be paid off once you walk through those pearly gates and you get to see the glory of God for yourself in person. That's what awaits us on the other side if we stay unified. Our prayers that we give are reminders to God that we want to serve Him. We want to be His servants. And even through our daily tasks, these can be thanked. We can be thankful for those because we have the ability to do them. Not everyone can say they get up in the morning and get up and walk. Not everyone can say they can do that. The things that we take for granted every single day, be thankful for them. Now, not every act is of the same value. Now, we know Paul as a tent maker. Of course, that wasn't a very honorable job compared to what he was doing on the other end. And that was his ministry. Paul was one of the greatest missionaries ever to walk the earth, but he also worked as a tent maker. So not every act we do on this earth is of equal value, because the most important thing we can do is lead someone to Christ like Paul did. No one remembers his tents that he made. They remember the souls that he brought to Christ. This has an effect all through eternity. And if we live our lives in both worlds with a true heart, we will not be two-faced. Because God judges our heart. He doesn't judge what he sees on the outside. He judges how we think, how we act, and the examples that we set through our integrity and through our moral code. Now, if we live in this world, we can exist in both. Because motives are everything. And the last piece of scripture I want to read this morning before we close out is from the book of Proverbs. And over this last summer during my internship, we had a whole study through the book of Proverbs. And this is a verse that stood out to me. And it's Proverbs 21:2. It says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." And if that doesn't tell you God judges the heart, I'm not sure anything else that I say will. Motives are everything, and God knows them, no matter how much you try to hide. We will find satisfaction through our good intentions. So if we have good intentions and we live how the Lord wants us, we won't be like the Rolling Stones who can't get no satisfaction. No more simple, mundane tasks of the flesh. All those daily activities, all those daily tasks are deeds to God with good intent. Be that witness on the inside and out. Don't just try to look the part. Don't talk about it. Be about it. So I'll leave you with this. This afternoon, not morning, always trips me up. This afternoon, if you're finding yourself with some sort of internal struggle, whether it be being a two-faced or wearing this mask in one way and being another way in church or anything like that, I ask that you give it to God right now. Give all your problems, and He will help you become unified, and that is a promise. Or if you want to put Christ on in baptism, you can do so at this time. Together we stand and